To do that, I have to learn a lot more about who you are, where you come from, and why you've lured us to this world. Aditi smiled at the word lured, but made no reply. The two of them walked in silence along the city's main street, nodding at the people walking along in the opposite direction. "Where's everyone going?" Jordan asked. "We seem to be the only people heading upstream."
"Most of them are going to their jobs. It's the beginning of the workday."
"And where are we going?" Aditi hesitated a heartbeat or two, checking with her inbuilt communicator, Jordan thought. At last she replied,
"Let's go to the communications center."
She led him down a side street toward a small stone building. Jordan saw that it was attached to the side of the massive structure that Audrey had called their administrative center. "All right," he said to himself. "The dormitory building should be around the corner of the administrative center, on the far side of the plaza that connects them." He smiled inwardly. "I'm getting to know the city's layout at least a little." He saw no antennas on the communications center's roof. Like all the other buildings in the city, its flat roof was a garden, green and leafy. Inside, though, the comm center was a humming beehive of quietly intense activity. Men and women sat at rows of consoles. Electronic maps covered the walls. Display screens showed rooms, corridors, city streets, the farms beyond the city's edge, patches of forest, a seashore glittering beneath the morning sun. "That's our camp," Jordan recognized the dome-shaped bubble tents.
"Yes, we keep watch over it," said Aditi, standing beside him.
Frowning slightly, Jordan asked, "Do you eavesdrop on our conversations?"
"We monitor your discussions, yes."
Even though he had known that Audrey somehow tracked his every move, Jordan felt nettled at Aditi's casual admission that they were spying on their human visitors. "I suppose the lavatories are off limits," he grumbled. Aditi giggled.
"Oh, yes. You can keep secrets in there."
He grinned back at her. "On our world, it's considered impolite to spy on people."
"Oh, we're not spying, Jordan. We're..."
She fumbled for a word.
"We're spying,"
she finally admitted.
"I suppose that really is the correct definition, after all."
"Why? We're no threat to you."
"We need to know all about you," Aditi said. "We need to know what you think of us, what you intend to do."
"Are you afraid of us?" he asked, incredulous.
"Not afraid, exactly. Curious. Hopeful. Worried, too, I suppose."
Jordan looked into her troubled eyes. "There is a gulf between us, isn't there?"
"Yes, I'm afraid there is."
"Well," he said, "I'm here to close that gulf when we meet with Audrey." The Gulf. Aditi led Jordan to the Astronomical Observatory, a domed structure that housed several telescopes, big tubular pieces of equipment angled up toward the dome, closed against the day's glare. Men and women, youngish for the most part, were seated at electronics consoles or bent over large tables whose tops were digital display screens. Jordan saw that the images were of star fields, swirling clouds of thousands, millions of pinpoint stars set against the black of infinity. "Your telescopes seem rather small compared to the ones I've seen on Earth," Jordan observed. Aditi explained,
"These optical telescopes are electronically boosted. They can see more clearly than your best telescopes on Earth."
"Our best telescopes are in orbit," he said, "and on the moon."
"We have no need for that. Observations from the ground are sufficient for our studies."
"Really?"
"Dr. Rudaki seemed happy to be working with our astronomers,"
Aditi said almost mournfully.
"But she hasn't returned here for some days."
"She will," said Jordan. "Give us some time to adjust to conditions here."
"I hope she will. I hope your Dr. Meek and the others learn to trust us."
Jordan bit back the reply that sprang to his mind. "Listening to every word we speak isn't the way to build trust," he said to himself. Aditi seemed to understand his reaction. Turning from the telescopes to a wall display that showed row upon row of alphanumeric symbols scrolling rapidly across the screen, she said,
"We also have radio telescopes outside the city. Some of them are quite large."
"Do you communicate with other intelligent species?" Jordan asked. She shook her head.
"It can't be called communication. The gulf between stars is too large. It takes years, our years, for a message to reach another intelligent species. Then more years for them to respond.
But you do send messages back and forth.
Yes, she said. Perhaps one day we'll begin sending messages to Earth.
And letting our own messages get through, Jordan added silently. Audrey was standing by one of the sweeping windows when Aditi led Jordan into his office, slowly stroking the same little ball of dark fur with big round eyes. He turned at the sound of the door sliding open and slipped the pet into a pocket of his robe. A beaming smile spread across his aged, seamed face.
"Friend Jordan," he said,
gliding across the polished tiles in his floor-length gown, both hands extended. Jordan grasped Audrey's hands in his own, once again surprised by the old man's strength. "Audrey, I sincerely hope you are my friend." The alien's smile wilted slightly. His pale blue eyes focused directly on Jordan's own. "We must be friends, Jordan," he said, his normally faint voice taking on some iron.
"Nothing can be accomplished if we are not."
"I want to be your friend," Jordan replied, "and I want you to be mine."
"Of course, of course,"
Audrey said as he gestured Jordan to a table already set for three. Jordan helped Aditi into a chair, then sat across from her, while an armchair obediently rolled to where Audrey was standing. Easing himself carefully into the chair, Audrey said,
"You have more questions for me?"
Leaning forward, arms on the table, Jordan said, "Aditi pointed out this morning that there's a gulf between us. You've been very kind, certainly, but you haven't been completely forthcoming with us."
"We've answered all your questions,"
Aditi said. "Yes, I know. But only the questions we know how to ask."
"Our policy," Audrey began.
Jordan interrupted. "It's time to change your policy. I want to know your complete story, where you're from, why you're here, what you want of us."
Audrey leaned back in his armchair. With a glance toward Aditi, he asked,
"Do you think you are ready for the complete story? Are you capable of accepting the whole truth?"
"If we're ever to bridge the gulf between us, Audrey, you'll have to be completely honest with us."
"With you,"
Audrey said, fixing Jordan with a grave stare. Jordan accepted the responsibility with a tilt of his head. "With me, then. Think of me as the representative of the human race."
"And the others? The fearful ones?"
"They'll overcome their fears once they understand your whole story." Again, Audrey looked to Aditi.
"You've got to tell him," she said.
"Very well," Audrey said.
Then he broke into a wry smile.
"After lunch."
Two young men served them a meal of cold meats and crisp salad. They spoke guardedly as they ate. Jordan talked mostly of how interested Thornberry was in their energy shield technology.
"Aditi can see to his education,"
Audrey suggested.
"I'd be happy to," Aditi said. "And Dr. Rudaki should return to the observatory. She seemed so excited about working with our astronomers."
Jordan grinned. "If Elise returns, my brother will come along with her. They're inseparable."
Aditi looked as if she wanted to reply to that, but she quickly turned her attention back to what was left of her meal.
At last, when their plates held nothing more than crumbs, Audrey slowly, almost painfully, got to his feet.
"Come with me, friend Jordan."
"Where?" Jordan asked.
"To see the truth."
The truth. Fondling his palm-sized pet as he walked, Audrey led Jordan, with Aditi at his side, down to the ground floor of the administrative center, out across the plaza behind the building, around the dormitory, to a small round building surrounded by tall, slim, dark green trees that sighed in the afternoon breeze. The sky was cloudless, hot and bright like a bowl of hammered copper. They walked up to a metal door that looked to Jordan more like an airlock hatch than an ordinary entrance. Audrey slid the furry little pet back into his robe, then pressed the fingertips of both his hands against the polished metal. The door slid open. The three of them stepped into a narrow metal chamber. "It is an airlock," Jordan marveled. The inner hatch slid open, and they stepped into a dimly lit vaulted chamber. Jordan's ears popped slightly. "The air pressure in here must be lower than outside," he reasoned. Lights set along the circular periphery of the chamber brightened as they walked across the stone floor. Sitting in the center of the otherwise empty space was a gray